We are going to go to the Amos chapter 4, starting from verse 1.
Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink.
Now here we read the cows of Bashan. Now somebody is saying God is talking to the cows, but he's not talking to the cows. He's saying, cows of Bashan. Psalmist says, the bulls of Bashan. Psalm 22, verse 12. So now we say, bulls of Bashan and cows of Bashan. In those days, in Samaria, there's a mountain and the grass and greenery. So these cows will eat and these bulls will eat and they will get strong and so healthy. And you know what we say, if somebody is harassing you or in the school, what do we call? Bully. So now the bulls are bully, but now these cows are bully too. So that's why he says, you cows are Bashans, you stay in the mountain of Samaria, and what you're doing, you're oppressing the poor. This is not the real cow. Cow doesn't know who is rich and who is poor. These are the people. These are the ladies. They are the one harassing the poor people. And then he says, you crushed the needy people. So the cow cannot know who has the need, and cow doesn't know who is the poor. So from this we know he is talking to the wives of the Israeli people or Jewish people or the Judah's people. Now he is saying, you are so strong and healthy, but you do not care about poor. You do not care about any needy people. You crush them and you destroy them. And so, not only that, what these cows are doing or these ladies are doing, telling their husbands, hey, get some drinks for us. And we want to drink, not a water. A liquor. And so they want to have a party every day. Now here he's saying what these ladies are doing, oppressing the poor, crushing the needy, and do not care about anybody, but they want to enjoy their life. Do you see some selfish people in the world? They want to enjoy their life. Drink, have fun. Doesn't matter how other people are suffering. There are people in the government. They also do something like that. They have a plane. They go and everywhere spend a lot of money. And here people are suffering for food. So here this is the kind of people. They were doing this kind of things. And that's why he says, you are fat cows of Bashan. And you are bad, bad people. Verse 2.
The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks.
Now he says, I'm fed up with you people. What I am going to do, I'm going to take you away with a hook. God is not going to bring hooks. God is not going to take away. Where God is going to take them? Only place he can take them to hell. But here he says, he will take them away by hook. And so that's why God allows enemy to bring hooks and take you with the hook. Go to the second Chronicle, chapter 33, verse 10 and 11.
And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon.
This kind of king, if you read the whole chapter, he was a wicked king, did not listen. So now he brings some enemies to tie him down and take him as a prisoner. Go to the Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16.
Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them, And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks.
See, he's sending a fisherman, not to fish, but he's going to fish the people. And he's sending the hunter, not to hunt deer, but they are going to hunt the people. And so he said, if you don't listen to me, I am going to take you away from your people. Not only, he says, bringing hooks and taking you, but all your children and all your family members. Everybody. If you commit sin, your whole family is going to suffer. Even the children, they are innocent. But the husband does something wrong and he goes to jail, his little children suffer. Wife does something and, you know, leave the children or something, the children and family will suffer. So one person commits sin, whole family suffers. So he said, you doing sins, I'm bringing the hook and take you away, but your children also. Sometimes seems to be God is very cruel. But God is not cruel. God is giving warning after warning after warning. In this chapter, you will see how many times God says, but you did not return to me. Verse 3. Amos chapter 4, verse 3.
And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord.
Here he says, what will happen when the enemy comes to attack you? They might be coming through the door. We believe that the enemy might come. So you put two or three locks at the door, put the bar and everything. So you think they are coming. So here he says, if the enemy comes, you will be so panicked, you will be make a hole in the wall and run for your life. So these people breaking the walls and going through the walls. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12, verse 1 to 5.
The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight as stuff for removing, and thou shalt go forth at even in their sight as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby.
See, dig down the walls and carry them out. So, here is saying, the calamity is coming, the problem is coming, you're going to go through the wall. Run for your life. And not only that, he says, how are you going to run? Amos chapter 4, verse 3, he says, you're going to run. If somebody's running before you, you want to go before them. So this is just like a race. If somebody's going, I want to go faster than that. I don't want to be here. And he says, they will be going, breaking the walls and going away. And then he says, read that verse one more time. Where are they going? Amos chapter 4, verse 3.
And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord.
Okay, now he says, every cow is before you. They're going through the wall, going one after another means going faster. But where are they going? Here in King James, he said, going to the palace, cast into the palace. They are not going to palace. In another translation, they said they are going to go to Harmon. Harmon is the place. And that place means the mountains of oppression. People are going to oppress them. People are going to destroy them. They are going to go to the mountain, running for the mountain. Do you know these Israeli people were doing idol worship on the mountain? They might be thinking the mountain God will save them. Running to the heathen God, but those God cannot save you. And they are going to die there. And later on we'll be seeing so many people will dying in that mountain, in that valley, and their smell will be stinky, smell will be coming. We'll be reading a little bit further. Here she said, these cows are running for their life. These cows, are these ladies are crazy. They don't care about anybody. They push anybody. They pull them and go further them. And he said, where are you going? You're running for your life, breaking the walls and everything, but the death is waiting for you on that mountain, and you're going to die, you're going to be destroyed. Verse 4.
Come to Bethel and transgress, at Gilgal multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years.
In this scripture is a little bit confusing. King James says, bring your tithes after 3 years. Now I'll explain to you. And here he's saying, go to Bethel and transgress. Means go to Bethel and sin. And then he says, go to Gilgal and multiply your sin. Somebody says, God is allowing me to do whatever you want to do. He says, go and have a dance party. Go and have a sin party. Go and do multiple sins. That's what he's saying. Go. Now, where are they going in Bethel? Bethel is the one they made the altars of the other gods. And they're worshiping heathen gods in Bethel. And they're worshiping Gilgal the same way. He says, I'm going to destroy your altars and horns of the altar. So those are not the godly altars. Those people were not worshiping the Jehovah God. So he's saying, you want to worship somebody? Go ahead. Commit sin. Go to Gilgal. Do more sin. You want to sacrifice? Go and sacrifice. And then how you sacrifice? He said, sacrifice. Bring your sacrifices. Okay. Bring your sacrifice every morning and bring your tithes after 3 years. This is a little bit wrong translation. I'll prove it to you. So you don't give your tithes every 3 years. They were supposed to give their tithe each time they get harvest or they get benefits. And so tithe is belong to God. You don't keep your tithe until 3 years. In those days, they said, if you do not give your tithe for some reason, you have a penalty, like you have to give 5% extra to the Lord. And so here is not about 3 years. I'll prove it to you. Let's go back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 7 and start reading from verse 11 to 18.
And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priests that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning.
See, now this is the peace offering. He said, when you offer the peace offering with the unleavened bread, and when you offer the peace offering, eat this peace offering, you should be eating the same day. Do not keep it for another day. Now this is the peace offering. Let's read a little bit further.
But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten.
Now this offering is like a free will offering. This is not demanded by God. So he said, if you're buying a free will offering, you can bring it. It can be even unleavened bread, and you can offer it. And you can eat that night. And if it's left over, you better finish it tomorrow, next day.
But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire.
See, here is saying, if something remains, you better burn it with the fire. You cannot keep that filthy food, spoiled food, spoiled meat for the third day. Okay.
And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity.
See, here he say, If you keep that offering for the third day, and you're eating for the third day, that will be abomination, that will be iniquity, that will be sin, and God says, I will punish you. Not only that, that your sacrificial offering will not have any value. And so let's go back to the Amos chapter 4 and verse 4. Now you'll get some idea.
Come to Bethel and transgress, at Gilgal multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning, and your tithes after 3 years.
Here is saying, when you bring that offering as a gift, here the word used like a tithe. This is not a tithe. And he says, you bring that offering, and when you eat that offering, do not keep it for a third day. But what these people are doing, they are eating on the third day, not the third year, third day. And that is the abomination. You cannot bring the sacrificial offering and give it to the Lord, and when God says finish in second day, you cannot eat it in third day. And that was the problem. Let's read verse 5, and then we know a little bit more.
And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God.
See, he says, you do not offer, but you like to bring the offering with the leavened bread. You like to eat it, and you want to keep it for a third day, and you want to enjoy that kind of thing, and this is the way you like. You don't think what I like. You are doing what you like. And that's what the problem is. So when I was reading third year, first of all, I thought tithe is not given for 3 days only, and so tithe should be given every year. So why is he saying 3 years? So I check all kinds of different Bibles. Then I found out it's not a 3 years, it's a 3 days. And why 3 days? Because here he's saying, when you offer the sacrifice, if it is the peace offering, you finish the same night, same day. If it is the gift offering or free will offering, you eat it second day, don't keep it for third day. But these people were keeping for the third day, and they said, that's what you're enjoying. You're enjoying breaking my law. When I say don't do those things, you're doing it. So he said, okay, go ahead and sin in Bethel. Go ahead and sin in Gilgal. More sin. And so God is saying, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. You want to please yourself? Go ahead. That's the same way we're reading in the book of Revelation. Go to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, I think it's chapter 22. Verse 11 and 12.
He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be.
See, he says you want to be filthy? Go ahead, be filthy more. You want to be righteous? Be righteous more. He says, I'm coming quickly. What does that mean? Somebody says, well, I can commit sin tonight, and I will ask forgiveness midnight. He said, I'm coming quickly. You don't know what time he's coming. He did not give you the date that you can commit sin from Monday through Friday. I'll come Saturday. It doesn't say like that. So he said, I'm coming quickly. So he didn't give the date. The day you're committing sin, and if you don't repent of your sins, you don't know, you might go to hell. And now some people, other day I was watching a television, and one person is saying, you know what? Some people are making you guilty that you will be committing sin and you will die even though you are a born-again Christian. So you are living in guilt. He said, don't live in guilt. Commit any sin. Why? Because when we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us, but now we are a believer. Why can't he forgive our sins automatically? Does it work that way? No. The word of God says, as he is in light, so you should be walking in the light, then you have fellowship with one another. And then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you. But if you don't have fellowship with Jesus Christ, then what? You have fellowship with the devil. One person said, you know what? When you commit sin, You just lose the fellowship with God, but your relationship with God, it stays. So how come? Because you are a child of God, and you will be always child of God. You commit sin or don't commit sin. I say, okay, wait, let me give an example. The Lazarus, the beggar, died. And the angel carried him to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man died. And they buried him. Now the rich man calls Abraham, Father Abraham. Well, relationship is there. He could call him Father Abraham. Where are you calling from? Calling from the hell. So I have the answer for these people. If you say fellowship is gone, but relationship is there, doesn't do any good. You can be sinner as a child of God, or you can be sinner as a unholy man. But the sinner is sinner. Liar is a liar. You cannot say, if the Christian says lie, that is not a lie. But the Hindu says a lie, that's a lie. It's not like that. You go to court, they don't say you're white or you're black or you're yellow or you're some different color, so I'm going to let you go. You commit sin, you have to have penalty. In here, Revelation said, go ahead. Do whatever you want to commit sin. But I'm coming quickly, and I have a reward. I'm going to judge accordingly. Go back to the Amos chapter 4. So here he's saying, you go to Bethel, you go to Gilgal, whatever the offering you want to give, but I have the rules and regulation. Your sacrifice, you rejoicing in it, but one day will come. I'm going to judge. Verse 6.
And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Now when somebody says, I have given you clean teeth, how many people want to go to dentist and get your clean teeth? Everybody wants clean teeth. Here he says, I'll give it to you free. How do you get the clean teeth? If you don't eat anything, your teeth will be not dirty. Here is the dentist will tell you, every time you eat, brush your teeth. Why? When you eat, you spoil your teeth. As soon as you eat something, brush your teeth. If you don't eat food, you are starving, your teeth will be clean. So he said, I'm giving you clean teeth. If you go to the Genesis chapter 49, verse 12, Jacob was blessing his children. And he blessed them exactly, blessings and cursing and everything. But you would not know until you do the research why he said so. Please read.
His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk.
Now, his teeth will be white as a milk. Now, if this prophecy, somebody will take it for Jesus, because if you read a little bit earlier, it sounds like given to Christ. But here he said, if you take it to Christ, Christ did not eat when he last supper, and then he did not eat anything, and then they crucified him, so his teeth can be like a white, like a milk. But it's talking about Judah here. Judah's people are committing sin. So this prophecy coming close to the Judah. I'm going to give you clean teeth. White teeth. Why? I'm going to take away your food. Go back to the Amos chapter 4, verse 6.
And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Take away your bread means no food. So now you got a clean teeth. But when you don't have food in your stomach, you're supposed to call upon God. I'm the one giving you bread. But you forgot. You got no food in your mouth. Your teeth is white and clean. Verse 7.
And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, But they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Can you imagine? He says, I did not give you rain, even though your crop came up to now ready to harvest within a 3 months. I destroyed that crop. Now I did the water from one city and no water to another city. So what you did, you traveled from one city to another city for water, and you did not get enough water because the hundreds and thousands of people may be going to that city, and they might be saying, get out of here, we need enough water for us, ourselves. So they're walking one city to another city to another city for water. Now, in King James, it's made very easy, but in another translation I was reading, they said they were dragging themselves and falling in so much trouble they had to look for the water. They must always thirsting and dying with the thirst, going one city to another city. But he says, still, he did not repent. Not only that, he said, all the crops, not only your wheat or barley, but all your fruits, olive fruits and fig fruits and all the fruits were destroyed. He put all kinds of germs and locusts and all kinds of things to destroy your crop. I want to see a couple of verses. Let's go and read Haggai chapter 2, verse 17.
I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord.
See, exactly the same way he's saying, I sent all kinds of problem to your crop and mildew, and all your farms were destroyed, but you didn't come to me. And go back to the Joel chapter 1 and starting from verse 4 and 5. Here he's saying, he sent the locusts, all kinds of locusts. Now sometimes there are one locust, but he says different kinds of locusts comes and eats a different kinds of crop. Okay.
That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten.
If the one kind of locust eats something, and if you're remaining something, I'll send another kind, and another one, and you will be destroyed. And then he gives the example of Egypt. See what happened to Egypt? And you were living in Egypt, how I protected you, your crop, your animals, your food, everything I protected. And now you are not listening to me. If you go to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 28, first verses 1 to 14, he gives all the blessings. He said, once you listen to me, hearken to my voice, do according to my will, all the blessings will come. But when you come to the verse 15, he says, all the curses will come. And those curses are so horrible. I don't want to read it today. You go home and read it yourself. So those curses are coming when you disobey God. Who told them? Moses. Now, the time passed. And now, they are coming to the, what do you call, Gilgal and Bethel and got the land and became fat and forgot about God and start doing stubborn things which God didn't want it. So the God said, okay, I'm going to take away your food, take away everything what you have, olive trees and fig trees, and everything will be destroyed. Okay, let's go back to the Amos chapter 4, verse 10.
I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps come. I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
See what he's trying to say? First of all, he gives the example of Egypt. Then he says, I have slain with the sword your children and I take it away. Somebody says, God himself came and killed the children with the sword. No, God sends the enemy. Enemy comes and war comes and the famine comes and destroys your family and your children. And that time people don't even think this was God. But he says, remember, I did it. Without me, it would not happen. And so he's saying, he reminded them about the Egypt. If you go to the Psalm 78 and read verse 43 to 51, psalmist says everything, step by step, what happened to Egyptian within that few verses. You have to read the whole psalm.
How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, and had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent diverse sorts of flies among them which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham.
See, everything what happened to Egypt, this psalmist is gathered everything in one paragraph. So here God is saying to these people, remember about Egypt. Why he's writing here, he wants other people to remember what God has done. So he says, remember. And then he says, you were slain, your children were slain, and some of the people went to the mountain and they were destroyed. And now their dead body smell is stinking in your nostrils. When they smell that thing, it reminded them, the enemy killed my children, enemy killed my wives. And they were running to the mountains, and now it's stinking. Why don't you repent? When this thing happened, he said, you should be repenting. He said, Lord, why this happening over and over and over and over to me or my house? People don't think. Some people get so many problems, but they never sit there and say, Lord, why this happened to me? Why this happening to my family? Why this happened to my country? We were the blessed nation around the world. Why so? So we, each and every person, start sitting and start praying, interceding for your children, your family, your state, your country. Our country will be not the same like today. The word of God says, when the righteous reigns, then all the blessings fall. And so here we see all kinds of disaster coming, and the word of God says, you did not repent. Because the word of God says, go to the Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 3, it says, not only they did not repent, they refused not to repent. Please read.
O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction.
See, they refused to take even correction. Some people say, don't tell me. When you start telling them, don't tell me, don't tell me. They do not want to hear. When God is correcting, you should be saying, wow, why this is happening, Lord? And you go to the Lord and God will tell you. He says all of these things God is doing to correct you. Last week we learned, God says, you are my chosen people. I have called you. That's why I'm going to punish you. Some people say, why God punishing his people? God loves us. That's why he wants to correct us. The correction doesn't feel good. Somebody says, I don't want pastor telling to how to live my life. I have my freedom. Yes, if I don't tell you, then God will ask me, why didn't you tell him? Because the word of God says in book of Ezekiel, if righteous man, even the righteous man committing sin, you better go and tell the righteous man. If you don't tell him, he will die in his sin, but I will ask his sin to you. But if you tell him, if he doesn't repent, then you are free, then he will be guilty. One pastor invited me, and he told me, I need a 3 days revival meeting, and I promised him. I did 1 day's meeting there, and when I came home, one of the mother called me. Say, Pastor Peter, did you see that the girl, 8-year-old girl walking around, and you asked that lady where is the baby's father didn't come? I said, yeah. She said, the baby's father is the pastor. So I said, okay. I called the pastor. I said, sir, who is that girl, the 8-year-old girl walking around there? And the mother was there, and I asked her, where is the baby's father? But she didn't tell me anything. Who is the baby's father? He's supposed to say, that's my child. What did he say? Pastor Peter, everything is under the blood. That's why people think. They commit sin, and they think God knows, and God can forgive, and everything under the blood. I say, sir, are you married? Yes. Are you divorced? No. Okay? You are married. You are not divorced. Who gave you authority to do adultery and bring a child? And he says everything under the blood? Oh, because we are going to get married maybe within a couple of weeks. I said, that doesn't justify. Your wife is burning there and you did not give her a divorce and you are committing sin. And if you repent, what do you mean repent? Turn around. Go back to your wife if she wants to be with you. And then get married and get rid of this lady. What about my child? Give the child support. But you cannot live in sin. He said, Pastor Peter, I saw everything under the blood. I said, I'm not coming 2 more days. I'm done with it. What happened? Pretty soon I got a phone call. Pastor Peter, guess what? What? That pastor is dead within a short period of time. God sent me there to warn him. I didn't know him. I told him, do the right thing. He didn't repent. Young man died like a fool. That's what it is. So the word of God is saying, these people do not want to even repent. They refuse to repent. They keep the distance. Sometimes they don't want to see you because you're going to tell them something. You know, if you have a beautiful white shirt and somebody has the dirty shirt, and he might be a painter, he has so many red and white and dots and everything, you're not going to go and say, did you see there is a red dot on your clothes and a white dot and black dot? He's saying, this is work clothes. But if you are a minister or a believer and having a white gown or white shirt and going to church and there is a small little black or red dot, right away somebody says, sir, you're going to church? Look at this. You have a red dot in there or black dot in there. How come? You're not going to say, so what? I have all the beautiful shirt. If it is a little white dot or black dot or yellow dot, somebody will find out. That's what it is. If you committing sin, you don't see it, somebody will find it out. So sin will find you out. And so here the word of God is saying, I gave you a chance. I did everything possible to change your life. But you're not listening to me. Okay, let's go back to the Amos chapter 4, verse 11.
I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you are as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord.
Last week we learned Sodom and Gomorrah was burned with the fire. And we learned no cows, no animal, no trees, nothing. Everything was burned to ashes. And today, Sodom and Gomorrah, where the place was, nothing is growing. Everything is vast land. People cannot even go and make a houses or something like that. So the point here I'm making, here is saying, I have given you the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I destroyed your cities like a Sodom and Gomorrah. Means some of the city might be enemy, put the fire and something. But he said, I did not allow you to burn to ashes. I pull you out of the fire. Like he says, burning stick in the fire and you pull it out. Now, the stick was burning in the fire. Maybe you just think that 10 feet log, you put it there and it's burning in the fire. Now, maybe through 2-3 feet is already burning. But he says, I pulled you out. Now, what happened? You got a burned stick, but it's out. So, some of the thing is gone, but you still have something. That means I did not destroy you completely yet. Some of you are still remaining. I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah completely. But I did not destroy Israeli or Jewish people completely yet. But God says, I pulled you out of fire, like a stick out of fire. Verse 12.
Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel.
Now here is saying, prepare to meet thy God. Do you know so many people have crocheted this word, printed this word on the calendars and different ways, prepare to meet thy God. Seems like it's a joyful occasion. God is coming and let's go and prepare to meet him, just like bridegroom is coming and the bride is ready waiting for the bridegroom. It's not like this. This is, he said, I'm coming to judge you. I'm going to destroy you. Sometimes somebody says, get up, put up your gloves. Stay ready, I'm going to punch you. That's what he's saying. I'm coming to destroy you. Are you ready? Because there is no way you can survive. Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the prick. What happens? If there is a sharp object or nail and you got angry, why this nail is here sticking out? And you kick on that nail. What will happen? It will prick you and you are going to bleed to death. So here the word of God is saying, you are trying to fight with me? Get ready. Prepare to meet thy God. Means he is not saying God is coming to help you or God is coming to bless you. God is coming to destroy you, fight with you. Or God's wrath is coming. Are you ready? That's what he's saying. We go back, Amos, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13.
For lo, he that formeth the mountains, and createth the wind, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name.
Now all this chapter he told, everything what God is doing, and you are not repenting. He said, let me remind you who I am. I am the one founds the mountains. I create everything, even though I have created the wind. Nobody can create the winds. Nobody can create the mountains. Nobody can create anything. Even the scientists and all of those things, people are thinking they can creating a baby. Tell them to take a dust and make a baby. They cannot make a baby. They're taking what God has given and trying to do it. They cannot do anything from nothing. But God says, I can do anything. He says, I formed the mountain. I created the wind. And he says, everything God does, he even knows how to make a darkness or light. You can create a light, but you don't know how to create a darkness. God can create darkness. He can create light. He can create mountains. He can create anything. He is a creator. But the people do not understand that God has created me. I should worship the creator, but they are worshiping the creation. I'm talking about Hindus. They make something from their hand and they worship. How foolish it is that you create something with your own hand and start worshiping the same thing. That has to be out of their mind. But because you're focusing on that picture and focusing on that idol and focusing on that crucifixion, he will not answer you. Why? It says the first commandment, do not make any images. The things are in heaven, things are on earth, and things under earth. So who lives in heaven? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and angels, they live in heaven. So you cannot make their statues. And if you make their statue because, oh, I love Jesus, so I want Jesus' statue. I want Jesus, so I want his cross. I want Jesus, so I want his picture. Sounds good, but it's the idol worship. If you start worshiping, God will be angry. Don't think that worshiping Christ's statue and he will bless you. How many Catholic people go and touch the feet of the statue and worship the statue? They are still the same. They are not changed. So the point I'm making, the word of God is saying, I am the one creating mountains, creating winds. I have created everything. I step on one mountain to another mountain and I don't have to walk like you. And he says, I know everything. I know about your mind. You cannot know my mind. I can only reveal to you. But I know everything about you. We don't know everything about God. But if you know Christ, then he reveals you what the God is all about. So we have to know Jesus Christ. So we are worshiping living God. Our God is the creator. Don't create something and worship. That will be sin. Here we learn, the word of God says to these people, you go to Bethel and commit sin. Go to Gilgal and commit more sin. But what? I'm going to come to judge you. Thank God, God is not going to judge us. Why? As soon as you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you pass from death unto life. Please read that, St. John chapter 5, verse 24. As soon as you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven, forgotten, no record of your sins. And so you are righteous in the sight of God, and you are passed from death unto life. Please read.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Now, this word is very comforting. I'm passed from death unto life and no condemnation. Read the Romans chapter 8, verse 1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
No condemnation if you are in Christ. But what you have to do? You walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You cannot say, oh, I don't have any condemnation now. I can do anything. No. You have to walk by the Spirit of God. Read the words too.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
See, in Christ, you have life and you have no sin in Christ. But if you step out of Christ, then you are sinner. If you reject Christ or reject the word of God, if God can punish his own people, right? The same God. He says, you cannot trample the blood of Jesus Christ under your feet. Once you're born again, you stay in the blood. plead the blood every day. And if you find out that you did something wrong, you repent right away. Do not keep it for another day. You remember we say peace offering? Eat it everything the same day. You cannot keep your sin for next day. Repent right away. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to understand the Word of God. Let us ask God forgiveness for our sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Whatever the sins I committed, I do not want to commit them again. The judgment day is coming. Our God is love. And our God is consuming fire. Lord Jesus, give us grace to live a clean and holy life and follow the Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.